This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with me, Gareth Davis, and former world champion Barry Jones. Thanks for joining us today, Barry. Today, we'll be discussing an all-time domestic classic between Fabio Wardley and Fraser Clark after the pair indulged in a magnificent show at the O2 on Sunday night, live on TalkSport. After 12 grueling rounds, the pair couldn't be separated on the scorecards, and it looks likely that a rematch between the two heavyweights is very much on the cards. We'll also unpack the best of the undercard. Ben Whittaker extended his unbeaten run, but was tested against Leon Willings. And there were also wins for Chris Congo and Vidal Riley. Plus, we'll talk about the possibility of a rematch between Joseph Parker and Dillian White after the Kiwi called out his former opponent on social media in a very funny way. We'll hear that. And what now for Conor Benn after yet another setback for the welterweight? So much to get through. Fights in America this weekend. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Price a draw, you never know. Right uppercut from Clark, great shot. And somehow Wardley takes it all around the arena. People are standing up and cheering. It almost seems invidious for there to be a winner here. That was simply breathtaking. The referee tries to draw the two men together. Fraser Clark sinks onto the ropes. He doesn't have the strength to stay upright. Fabio Wardley is being hoisted aloft in the other corner by Dillian White, who thinks his man has won the fight. There almost shouldn't be a loser there. Just an incredible 12 rounds.
We knew it was going to be a good fight, but boy, did it deliver. I mean, you know, no one expected it to go the way that it did. It was one of the greatest British heavyweight fights, I think, of all time, if I'm totally honest.
Well, Barry, it's the day after, or a couple of days after the night before. What a night. I found myself thinking, talking, breathing that heavyweight fight all of Monday with everyone that was around wanting to talk about it. Did you find the same?
I did, yeah. You know, I think, as yourself, as you know, we've been to some of the best and biggest and most exciting fights in the last 20-plus years, and that was up there with them. It really was. That was one of the best heavyweight fights I've been to live. And when I think back to all the fights, the heavyweight fights I've seen, that takes some doing. It really does. It was enthralling. It wasn't technically the best spectacle, but it was absolutely drama from the first bell to the last. It really was. The commitment from both, the courage. I mean, you talk about box ticking exercises and all the time about how a fighter should conduct themselves, but the courage, commitment, chin, will to win, all those things, you know, that make a great fight, they both had it in spades. Any questions that were asked of each one, they came back with another answer and posed a question to their opponent. It was just, well, just took your breath away. I could watch that fight every day of the week for a year, for the next year, and I would be happy.
The weird thing was, it lived up to all the kind of the ruminations of who do what in the build-up, and because the experienced amateur pedigree and the elite amateur pedigree of Fraser Clark and the white collar background of Fabio Wardley, but a greater experience and whatever it was, 15, 16 knockouts in his career. All but one of his Fabio's fights had been by stoppage. We knew that he brought the fight. They both fought in their own ways. And I thought we really saw Fraser Clark emerge. Both men's stock rose in lots of ways. A draw was fitting. The fans get to see it again at some point. I don't know if it's good for the fighters to do it again, but I thought if you pick the bones out of the fight, I had Fraser doing very well in the first three or four rounds. Then obviously he got dropped. Then he got a point deducted a couple of rounds later for, it looked like, yeah, it was a sneaky low blow, but it was only a little shove into that kind of area. It wasn't even below the belt in many ways. It was just a nudge while they were at close quarters. And I think with Steve Gray, it was the position Steve Gray was in that made him do it almost. It wasn't a sneaky punch in the end. It was right in front of him. As that fight then emerged, Fabio had amazing flurries through it. I had Fabio, by the way, winning 114, 112 on my card. But I didn't argue with the draw. What I found strange was the 115, 112 card, Barry. Because with those 2 points deducted, that made it 117, 112, which was an odd one for me. Because I didn't see a 117, 112 fight. That differentiation anyway.
I would say I had Fraser Clark winning by a couple of points. So I would, without those points, I have it wider again for Clark. So I see it from a different perspective from you. So that low blow, I know where you were sat and when it happened, and Fabio's back's to you, I think, where you were sat.
Yeah,
I was adjacent to you. So I could see that punch clearly. And even though it doesn't look low, it was low. And also, what people don't understand about referees, they don't have to make a big signal for a warning. They don't have to warn you three times for to take a public warning. And they can warn you as many times as they want. They can take as many points as they want. Everything's in their under their discretion, whatever they want to do. They can disqualify you for looking at them funny if they want to. They won't work again, but they're in charge in that ring. So they can do whatever they want when they want to do it. But I thought Fraser won that round.
So it was a 9-9 for you.
So it's not a 10-8 round. Yeah. Little things like that make a big difference when you get to the end of the 12 rounds, of course. I agree with that
round to Fabio. I gave that as a 10-8.
There you go. So that gives him a 2-point. So that's 4 points in two rounds already.
Yeah.
And that's why you had him a win. And I wouldn't argue with that. It was that sort of fight. I think the draw turned out to be the perfect scenario for the guys, because they both deserved a bit of credit for it. And also for us fans, because we do get to see it again. And I hate draws quite often because it's like, oh, there's no conclusive winner. But in a fight like that, selfishly, you're happy to draw because they know they'll be forced to fight again. I agree with you, though. The first four rounds, I thought Fraser Clark's jab was fantastic. You know, he had no telling it. He was just pushing straight from the shoulder. And Fabio was having to throw that right hand from too far out and missing wildly. But Fabio Wardley is a guy who will commit to everything he does. And in the end, he will get success. He will get some rewards from that. What he didn't really bank on was how well Fraser Clark could take a shot. Mm. Oh my God. Like, the unbelievable. And there's not even talk about Fabio Wardley yet, how resilient he was, some of the uppercuts he had to take all night. But Fraser Clark got hit with clubbing right hands, didn't blink. Every time he got caught with a decent shot, that amateur schooling came in. He took half a step back, kept his hands up, kept his shape, and then worked beyond the jab.
Mm.
And usually when Fabio hits you, you lose your shape a bit. And when he hits you with a good shot, four, five, six more punches are coming. And Fabio just Fraser Clark took that away from Fabio, just took a little step back, regrouping, but keeping his hands high. Didn't give anything away. Didn't give any gaps for Fabio to aim for. But ironically, when Fabio throws a 1-2, he throws that right hand, he loops it over the guard. It's a good shot. It's very effective. The knockdown was a straight shot.
Yeah.
How you learn to pull the punches in the Olympic style, you know, in the amateur pedigree, throwing 1-2 down the line. He threw a correct right hand. He went right down the line. It wasn't the bigger shot that he threw that night, but it was the most direct. And that's what dropped Fraser. And he was hurt.
And the brilliance, though, of Fraser was really shown when he was dropped in that fifth. And it looked like it might be over then. I mean, it was we had that seesawing kind of changes in ascendancy all night until, I mean, as I say, you haven't spoken about Fabio yet, but his, you know, his face busted up, his nose gone by round three. Something Ben Davison told me, by the way, which is he's got to get that nose operated on because it opens in sparring all the time even as well. And that could cause, that could have been stopped in an on in another fight, in another instance. The doctor looked at it. Talk to me about what you felt about Fabi as well, because he hasn't got vast experience, but what he has, he's got a major dog in him, hasn't he? It's a major dog.
He's the most, and I say this, and please, I'm going to mention Nigel Benn. I'm not comparing him to the great Nigel Benn in ability or where he ends up in his career, but he's the most instinctively reactive fighter since Nigel Benn. And I say that by, if he hits you with a good shot, every time Nigel Benn caught you with a half-decent shot, he went for you. Like, he thought, I've hit you, you're done, I'm going for you. He committed to everything. Fabio's the same. Once he hits you with a jab, he throws the whole kitchen sink at you because he thinks, if I can land, I can get rid of you. And the ferociousness in his work is what's got him where he is today, what's got him to become a British champion. Also, and this is more like Nigel Benn, when Fabio's hurt, his first thought is to fire. No, you can't teach that. Actually, no. You don't want your fighter to be like that. You want your fighter to do what Fraser Clark did and regroup. That's the most intelligent, clever thing to do. That's what gives you longevity. That's what wins you fights. What gets you into trouble and gets you knocked out is what Nigel Benn does, is what Fabio Waldi does. But within that is what gets you a great fight. Within that, reacting that way, being offensive, when you're in trouble, when you can't think straight, is what gets you those great wins. It's what made Nigel Benn a great fighter, of course. It's what made him beat fighters who were technically better than him. And Fabio has that in him. And I haven't seen it that clearly since Nigel Benn. Fabio already has the same dog in him, as you say, that Nigel Benn has. He will fire. I mean, he was exhausted from round four on Fabio Waldi. Fraser Clark had to show a resilience and fitness, and he was tired and he was under the cosh. But Fabio was knackered. And I tell you something about having a cut over your eye, over your nose, or any cuts, any facial damage, you feel it. It puts a panic in you. I don't care who you are, it puts a panic in you because you can feel the pumping of the blood, whether it's a swelling or the blood, you can feel it. And you're not sure what it is or how bad it is. Mm. He never fidgeted with it once. Usually you'll dab it a cut with your glove.
He did once, by the way, in the neutral corner. He did have one look at it late in the fight. And it was almost like, oh, I wonder if this is going to be it for him now. He did. Yeah. He had a little paw at it. And that's a very good point because it was finally bothering him.
Yeah. You know? But he still never deterred him, though. And that's amazing from his game plan, you know, because this is the way I fight. This is what I have to do. Yeah. And I think some of the flaws in learn how you learn the box conventionally were exposed a little bit from Fraser Clark, certainly in the early rounds. But the commitment from the two in the end just made it a great fight.
Well, but also we were on the edge of our seats, probably, I want to say the last three rounds, because, and definitely in the last round, they had left so much in there. They didn't have enough to finish each other, either of them. Neither, because you were watching it thinking, if either of them lands the right punch now, it could be over. Do you know what I mean? But they didn't have that punch in them anymore because they didn't have anything left to give. It was unbelievable, even though they were giving it.
Every time Fabio hit Fraser with a big looping right hand and he caught him flush, and Fraser would just get on his heels a little bit. He thought, oh, this is it. And every time Fraser caught Fabio with an uppercut, which was amazing because Fabio was looking, very rarely saw it. He was looking the other way quite often. And he'd get caught, and they'd be in close, and Fraser would find a gap for that uppercut and just turn into it perfectly. And they ripped the head back of Fabio Waldi, and I just think, that's it. Their punches have put you on your knees. And then ultimately, because especially when you're exhausted, they're the sickening shots. So you just go, this is enough. I can't give any more. You know, I was waiting for that moment from either one. More Fabio, actually, than Clark. Well, I just think, I can't give any more. No, I've been there. I've been there where I got stopped on my feet. But I mean, and I kept getting up. But I mean, I was at the ropes getting pummeled by the guy. And I was just, and I got stopped. And my corner threw the towel in. But I didn't fire back. I knew. I just... I fought my heart. I had nothing left. I give everything I had. But they were at that point by round eight. Yeah. Certainly Fabio, But he just keeps finding, again, that instinctive reactive fighting, where he just keeps throwing until there's not a breath left in him. And it was just, I'm talking about it now. I'm going to go and watch it again. Make sure I'm seeing it again. It was a beautifully horrific fight to watch. If that makes any sense.
It was beautiful, brutality. It certainly was. Well, let's listen to Fraser Clark. He'd love to have the rematch with Wardley, and there's no reason why it can't happen. Speaking to TalkSport on Tuesday morning.
I'd love the rematch. You know, I think the boxing fans would love the rematch. So you know, I'll leave that to my team and Fabio's team to get into that. I just hope we can do it again. You know, I think we put on a really good occasion for everyone. Everyone seemed to enjoy it. So, you know, I don't see no reason why we can't do it again.
Well, the rematch seems the most obvious step for both. Also, if they want a break and they need a break, what I'm thinking at the moment, the most obvious thing, Barry, is there's a record crowd of 38,500 odd at Portman Road, Ipswich. And if you use the pitch for it, summer fight with those two, 45,000 there with 7,000 on the pitch. So it'd be a massive occasion. It merits it. But there's also a Joe Joyce out there. There's everyone, I'd say, from the top 10 to the top 20. Is it rematch at Portman Road or is it Riyadh? There's so many options for them both now.
Yeah, they did. And that's what a great place to be for both of them after that. But I want to say, we need to see it again. They need to see it again. They need to...
They need 6 months off, though, don't they?
Well, yeah, they do, but... Don't worry, and you wouldn't argue, you wouldn't blame them if they both had another fight. It'll be close to 12 months before they fight again. And also, what if one takes a more dangerous fight or a more advancing fight in their career than the other? Then they're a say one boxes domestic level, an easier fight, and struggles. Just an argument, just theoretically. And the other one boxes Ajit Kabayel, for instance, who's European champion, I think. By the way, this is world level. Just say he loses to Frank Sanchez when he boxes him in May, or wins or whatever, and they fight him. And they're on the world level. The other one's still hovering around that British European level. Then to make the fight financially, one wants way more than the other. It makes it a hard fight to make. I think that's got to be on their mind. That they both fight each other now. I think they'll do financially better for it this time because the clamour for that fight will possibly make it, unfortunately for boxing fans, pay-per-view, maybe.
Yeah. No, it should. They deserve it.
They deserve it, but like, boxing fans don't deserve to have to pay extra for anything. I'd say that much. But that might happen. But we got that for free within our subscription base. And let's be happy for that. In this era, that's a rare thing. But it's got to happen next. I can't. If it doesn't happen next, I got a horrible feeling it happens way too late. We've seen it.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
Been around boxing to know long enough. You know, if you don't sort your business out quick, it becomes someone else's business. It disappears. So let's have it now.
Great stuff, Barry. Well, you're listening to Fight Now Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we'll discuss a potential rematch between Joseph Parker and Dillian White. Is it the right move? Plus, we'll ask what next for Conor Benn after yet another setback for him in his ongoing battle with the Boxing Board of Control and UK anti-doping. Next, though, we'll continue to unpack Sunday night's card at the O2 and talk the best of the undercard.
To 73, declaring your winner and still undefeated, Ben the Surgeon Whitaker, declaring your winner by unanimous decision, and now the IBO Intercontinental Welterweight Champion, Chris Too Slick Congo.
What I do think about Vidal Riley is he's a level above, if not two levels above, Mikel Lawal, and he proved that tonight.
And still, the English Cruiserweight Champion, the realist, Vidal Riley!
You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with me, Gareth Davis, and him, former world champion, Barry Jones. Well, Ben Whitaker won again, Barry. The showing of the boat wasn't there quite as much, certainly not for the first two rounds. He's beating Leon Willings up. But I spoke to Willings and his team in the week, you know, and you look at Willings' physique, his age, and, you know, he took Whitaker on. Obviously, look, he got He got roundly beaten in terms of the points decision, and he took a bit of a shellacking at times. But you could see in his physicality that he's very powerful and very strong at 175 pounds. But also, he fought his own game in lots of ways as well. And he was ignoring that kind of pirouetting figure in front of him at times and said, no, I'm going to play the shoulder roll on the ropes, and I'm going to do what I am, and I am going to counter you. And you're not even hurting me. I know he went down early in the fight, but it was fascinating. And this journey of Ben Whittaker is going to be fascinating as well.
Yeah, and I think so. I thought it was a good performance from Whittaker. I've seen people have a go at him, and I understand that he set a bar for himself with the showboating, and he put himself out there where he's going to be the Marmite fighter. I think, you know, people are going to love him. The younger generation are going to absolutely fall in love with him like they did Naz. And the older generation are going to be a little more, he needs to be put in his place. And I've said to him, listen, what you do, the showboating, I'm not a huge fan of, but do it more. Don't stop doing it.
That's exactly.
You're a bit.
It's him, isn't it? It's natural. It's not an act.
It's a bit. Yes, tremendous ability. Like I don't take any. When I was watching on Sunday night, I didn't take any notice of the showboating. I just watched the work.
Yeah.
I'm able now, especially when I'm there live, to just blank all that stuff out, because that's not for me. You're doing that for other people, not doing that for me. So I'm just watching the work. The work is fantastic. He boxes really well. His judgment distance is really good. Okay, he hasn't got crunching power, but he's a big guy, so we can hit that.
He hasn't got his man strength yet either. He's still a very young man.
Yeah. But I think he's a good. Technically, he's very good. That first round was his best round because he did no showboating. The showboating is what's going to make him a superstar. So he has to continue in that vein. Now he has to be the brash, arrogant guy. He has to live that life. If you've got to be a strong character to live that life. But if you can do it, he's good enough to do it. But there were signs you can get caught when you're doing it too close to the target. You can learn. And that's a learning fight for him. And for Leon Willings, it's showing. It doesn't matter. Take the risk. Because even though he lost, he comes up with plenty of credit. He took Ben Whittaker. You know, he didn't win a round. But he gave Ben Whittaker trouble. He made it. You know, he made him have to search for the target, and he fired back and hit him with a few good shots. And people want to see Willings again against other people, see how he reacts.
He's a name now, isn't he? Leon Willings is a name.
Yeah. For Ben, I say the same with Ben Whittaker all the time. Just keep him busy. He doesn't need to be boxing really hard fights. Every now and again, he said Willings, a learning fight like that. Put him next fight. Put him against somebody he can batter and show off and do somersaults. And just keep selling him as the next Naz. It doesn't matter. He's not going to be in the next Naz because Naz is a unique character. But sell him like that. He might be his own version of Naz, whatever. But I mean, you've got a little bit of a special talent. Where he ends up, nobody knows. But right now, he's doing the right things to sell him in a society full of everything's a commodity.
It's entertainment.
More than ever before, Gareth. It really is.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of it, but do it more. Keep doing it. That's what's going to set you apart from other talents.
What I will say about him, and he had a pop at people criticising his showboating this week, was, and I talked about, you know, I've done several interviews with him. Every time we're live with him at TalkSport, you know, I say, you know, let's talk about the showboating tonight. It's a thing we do. But Jorge Paez, Muhammad Ali to a certain extent, Nazim Hamid, Willie Pep, James Toney, they all had their... And then there's loads more, but they had a very unique way of moving in the ring, didn't they? And they're all diverse and unique. I think he has such exuberance when he boxes and he loves it so much. Once he's in there, he can't stop himself from doing it almost, you know? But like you say, as he goes up the levels, he is going to have to do what he did for the first two rounds, which is really... just show what a pure boxer he is as well, a classical type boxer in many ways. Because in that first round, it looked like he was literally, he put pressure on Willings. He was countering him and beating him up, wasn't he, really?
But the difference is, when he was just all business, he was slipping punches inside.
He was amazing, amazing.
And then he can fire off that. When he's doing the showboating, he'll lean back to make you miss.
Yeah,
he can get that the real sneaky uppercut off unknown again, but more than likely you can't really get a real shot of purchase off. That's the difference. But this, you are what you are, and I don't care what he's like, what his personality is like in real life. It's what he sells to the public, and
he doesn't come across as an arrogant man in real life. He's very humble.
Ramsey, I'm arguing maybe, again, I'm going against what I personally like, but to make him a star, be arrogant.
You've got to do it. Yeah.
Be the play the villain, play the character, like the Chris Eubank did it. You know what I mean? Chris Eubank Jr. does it to an extent. Now, they all do it, but you've got to be a strong character to live with the criticism. And we've seen the thing with Andy Clark, and I think, you know, obviously with this, on Sky, where they had a little bit of back and forth. Like, if he can't take the criticism, he's going to be, if it affects him, he's going to be a problem for him. Or is he just doing that to build up more drama?
Well, it did build more drama, didn't it? And then there was drama afterwards. One more question on Ben Whittaker for now. Reports that he could leave Sky soon when his contract's up. Is it time to be fighting higher calibre opponents? Dan Azeez is saying he wouldn't mind fighting him. Is that too early, a Dan Azeez fight?
I think it is, to be honest. And also, I just think we need to see more of him. Like, I go far to say he should be on every Sky show. I know that's financially might not be worth, but I mean, every time you think Sky boxing, you should think Ben Whittaker or whatever he ends up. It's almost like Whittaker boxing. You always think, if he's not on the show, hang on, why isn't Ben Whittaker on the show? He should be boxing every single show. They should be showing him off, because if you're betting that he's going to be your next pay-per-view star, which is what they're building him towards, then we just need to be almost ingrained in our thought process. When we turn on Sky Sports Boxing, it's him we see.
But Barry, very quickly on these two, because we need to look at America last weekend. Again, it was a night when the boxers won against the Bulls. The Matadors beat the Bulls. Chris Congo beats Florian Marcu in an interesting fight in which Marcu, walked him down early on and tried to get inside, and much shorter man and with a much shorter reach. Congo was holding a lot, and Howard Foster, it almost did him a favour, really, by saying no holding. And Congo fell into a rhythm then and actually boxed beautifully for the last 5-6 rounds of the contest, and for me, ran away with it. How Marcu's team were telling him he had it going into the last round was beyond me, because we could hear the corners. I thought Congo had the fight from round 4.
Yeah, I thought he boxed his ears off, you know, and that's no disrespect to Marcu. He kept coming forward, but...
And the Albanians, by the way, isn't it great to have them there?
Oh, they're fantastic. And they stayed.
They stayed.
They stayed, didn't they? It was brilliant. Yeah. I mean, like, Congo showed what good footwork can do, why having good feet is so important. And Marcu showed why having slow feet can punish you. And that's what happened. He wants to walk you down, as you say. He walks you down, but he literally walks you heel toe, and that's no good. You can't get no momentum in you. You need to fight in front of you to hit him. And Congo's, because he's experienced now. Congo's been in some good fighters, and he's been in fights where he's been under pressure. Maybe not with the biggest puncher as Marcu, but still. So when he got caught with shots, when he got hit now and again, he never panicked. He twisted, he turned, he pivoted, got back in the center of the ring, used that jab really well on the feet. I thought he put on the perfect performance against that opponent.
Yeah, and the two Fs, he got fatigued and frustrated in the end, didn't he, Marcu, as the fight went on. Vidal Riley again against Mikel Lawal. You see the back of Lawal, it's like an Adonis, isn't it? It's like someone sculpted this incredible back. We know he's got massive power, but again, Vidal Riley, footwork, Barry. And I had a bit of a row with the broadcast team, certainly with Spencer, because the guys wanted more from Riley. I thought Riley played it perfectly, in my view.
I'm glad you said that. I thought he boxed brilliant. Again, just pretty much what I said about Chris Congo, apply that to Riley. He showed what good footwork does. Constantly changed the rank. Yeah, the guy, again, this was a step up in class for him, dramatically, by the way. A guy who's physically strong, you hold your feet with him to look better, and which you should maybe at times, but you take the risk of that bigger guy having success and then feeding off that success. You just make a guy, it's down to Lawal to make it an exciting fight. He's got to close the gap on you. I think Vidal Riley boxed brilliant. I thought, honest God, that might have been the standout performance of the night.
So too did, we go to America last weekend, so did Sebastian Fundora against Tim Hsu. Tim Hsu, very brave taking, well, not brave, but very valiant taking Fundora, 6'5" of course, as a light middleweight on short notice. Tim Hsu cut early in that fight. I saw some very interesting comments, Barry, from Jacob Stitch Duran, saying that an artery, very close to an artery, was cut in his head. And what he should have done, What is that fight should have been pulled at the time and court declared a no contest because it was before five rounds, whereas it really affected him in the fight. And it was very, very hard to stop the flow of blood. I mean, it literally was a bloodbath. Well done, Fundora, but very interesting from Stitch Duran. If he'd been there in the corner, he said he'd been calling the referee over to, or if they could have, as the team, to have a look at it, to get the doctor to look, because he said there are, and Stitch knows these things, of course, as he's talked about Tyson Fury's eye, he's lucky that there isn't near a very strong vein or capillary. This one was. Great performance by Fundora, though. They're going to do the rematch. And also, Isaac Cruz looks like an absolute beast and stopped Rolly Romero last weekend. Two great fights.
Yeah, that was a great build. The whole build, like, there was five fights on it. I think four world title fights, I think, if I'm correct. And I thought they can all be, they're not going to go back six rounds, none of these. I thought Tim Zoo was going to stop Fundora, even though it was late notice and it was a change for both of them. Fundora got chucked in, obviously, when Keith Thurman pulled out. But I thought Zoo would get to him. And I think without the blood, maybe he would have. He showed great courage. And again, what I said earlier on in the programme about you feel that, the pumping, and it does affect you. And certainly with the blood going in your eye, and it was constant stream of blood. And I don't know how it wasn't made a no contest. But you know, but it made for a good spectacle in the end, and I think that they will. And again, you know, a loss is a loss, but he got something to blame it on. Not just he didn't just get totally schooled by a giant of a man in Fundora, but they'll go again. And Sebastian Fundora might grow from that, by the way. And Isaac Cruz, I did fancy him to get Romero out of there, to be fair. But you still got to do it, because I've seen Cruz not look so great, but I just thought stylistically it was the right matchup for him, because he is like a little pit bull. He's hard work. He's impossible. You've got to have great feet to stop him from walking all over you.
You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we'll talk about the potential rematch between Joseph Parker and Dillian White after Parker called out the body snatcher over the weekend.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with me, Gareth Harris, the former world champion Barry Jones. Interesting and inventive as ever, the call out from Joseph Parker over the weekend to Dillian White. He has made it clear that he wants him back for good. So take that, Dillian White. The rematch, obviously, in Saudi. He's promoted by Frank Warren now and managed by Spencer Brown. He's within that Tyson Fury setup. It's a no-brainer for Dillian White, surely, because he wants him back for good. Should we say? No, we won't.
That was my generation. I remember taking that, of course. It's a great, it's a it was the first fight was fantastic with him, but I mean,
it was reminiscent of Clark and Wardley, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But there's been a shift in where they are now in their career, so I would massively favour Joseph Parker against Dillian White. But listen, Dillian White gets a chance to earn a fortune where, you know, he's been out in the cold a little bit, of course, recently. And he's back. He got a license with Texas, a Texan license. So he boxed in Europe. And was it last week or the week before? He boxed.
It was in Ireland, wasn't it? Yeah. Castlebar.
Yeah, I box in Castlebar as well, actually, as an amateur.
It's a great place. It's a great place, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they are very lyrical people there. There's lots of Irish music in the area. All the pubs have Irish music. It's an amazing place. I went on a media tour with Mick Hennessy and Carl Froch, actually, and Darren Barker back in those days. Well, who did you fight there? Can you remember?
I can't remember. I was like 15. I remember I stopped.
Oh, I see.
I had a rare stoppage. It was Jones the Banger back then. No, I'm a joke. But either way, it was like it's good. It's the way he called him out. That's all you need. He's fantastic with those little skits that he does on Instagram, Joseph Parker. And he's been a revelation his last few fights as well. So he gets a Dillian White fight. I think it's a fight that he can win quite comfortable this time. And they both get massive paydays. So it's a no-brainer.
It's a completely different place, isn't it? Parker, is, I think we've talked about you and I before on radio shows, on Talk Sports, that Joseph Parker's momentum is so key. And again, if this fight, I mean, it doesn't look like it's necessarily happening in May or June. It won't happen that quickly. It's not going to be suddenly thrown onto one of these two massive cards. By the way, just digressing, and this is an important point, 4 men's undisputed fights within a month, Barry. Noya Nui and Lewis Neary. Canelo Alvarez and Jaime Munguia.
Yep.
That May the 4th, May the 6th, in reverse retrospectively. May the 18th, Fury and Usyk for the undisputed heavyweight fight title. And June the 1st, Beterbiev and Bivol for the undisputed light heavyweight title. This is genuinely unprecedented. I can't remember a time when we had 4 men's undisputed title fights in a month. Can you ever remember that in our time we've been alive?
No, I cannot. No, I can't. And I just think boxing has realised that, you know, to stay relevant as a sport, it has to clean itself up, and which is ironic, really, what's going on. But, I mean, it has to make the fights. And I think fighters are realising as well, to make that huge money that they want to make, they have to fight each other. They have to. And they can't go the back route now. Or not so much the fighters, the managers and promoters realise this. For us all to eat, to make the money, we have to make these fights for the fans. And again, for boxers, Joseph Parker is the perfect example of less camps, more fights. Keep busy. Mm-hmm. It's good for your eye. You get better every fight because you've taken the lessons from the last one to the next one. If you're boxing once a year, you forget the lessons you learned from the last fight. You're staying fresh with what you've learned every time.
That could be the problem for Fury right now as well, as far as I can see. Momentum.
Tyson Fury, if he's still as good as he has been, he's the best.
He beats everyone.
Correct. Is he? He's boxing so irregular. That is there a decline since Wilder 2, which was his last stand-up performance? That's February 2020. He's had wins, but that was his last real great performance, that was. And since then, he's been in good fights and not so good fights as well. But he hasn't looked the same. And that might be an activity. It might just be that, you know, maybe...
I thought he dealt with Dillian White very handily, and we don't give him credit for that.
No, he did. And Chisora as well, he did. But I think, you know, I think Dillian White is not the same fight that he was anyway. And before that, I think the Tupovekin fight showed that. That's my opinion. I hope I'm wrong. And I hope I want Tyson to beat Fury to be at his best against Alexander Usyk.
So we get to see
the best fight. But there might be a decline there. But with Joseph Parker, you could see it that he's improving because he's boxing regular. And that is not just for heavyweight boxing, but all the boxers around in any way to show if you're busy, you're better.
I think it's fair to rank Joseph Parker, to go back to him, as number 4 in the world right now. That, you know, in terms of our notes right now, does it suggest Is it good matchmaking, a Dillian White fight, or does it suggest that there isn't the right fight for him at the moment, as he perhaps waits for, I don't know, there's talk about Joshua potentially fighting at Wembley in September. That's not confirmed yet. There's talk about potentially Hrgović and Dubois fighting. Could he fight one of those? So Parker's waiting for that big fight himself, isn't he? I think maybe this is just the right opponent in terms of matchmaking. And obviously there's a storyline.
No, I think you summed it perfectly. He's the perfect opponent because of the narrative of the story and everything else. I think it's the perfect fight for him. And it is because I think you're right what you said. It is because he's waiting for that big fight. There's a queue to fight for that world title. And he's not at the front of it. He's close to, but he's not at the front. And also, there might be a queue for Joshua. Now, he might be the opponent in September, if that goes. Mm. But he's realised now, I can't wait from now to September. I'll stay busy. And the Dillian White fight, I think, unless Dillian White shows us something different, won't be as taxing as they have been in the past. So it'll be a fight where he has to be good, but I don't think it's going to be the war that we've seen before. So it won't take miles off him. It won't take miles off the clock of him, and he'll just have another fight to tick over. It's disrespectful for Dillian White, but to keep him fresh for the big fight maybe in September or so, whoever else he gets to fight. But and also, once Fury boxes Usyk, those titles very well might fragment. All of them might go. So he might be able to, he might get his chance to be a world champion once again.
Well, my feeling is weirdly that I had this feeling in my bones for a long time that it's going to be a controversial draw first time between Fury and Usyk, and then they'll open the Riyadh season maybe with them in a second fight. But the other thing about Parker putting that message out finally before we go to break is, he's almost maybe getting in and getting Dillian White before Joshua gets Dillian White by putting that message out as well. Because, you know, weirdly, Dillian is a kind of man in demand now for people to, with full respect to Dillian, guys who are in the top four. He's a great, listen, you can't write people like Dillian White off either. He's got the same dogged spirit as a Fabio Wardley we were talking about earlier. You never know with Dillian. You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, what does the future hold for Conor Benn after his latest setback? And we look ahead to a couple of fights in the United States. It's Las Vegas this weekend. You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with me, Gareth Davis, and him, Barry Jones, the former world champion. Feels like a long time ago now that you were world champion, Barry.
That's because it was a long time ago, Gareth. I've gone through the stages of brushing my hair back, to brushing it forward, to shaving it off. A full evolution I've had of since I was a world champion.
You're still a dapper.
But I'll never forget it, mate.
And we won't either. And you're always a dapper devil anyway. So it feels a long time ago as well. And it's still rumbling on that Conor Benn was going to be fighting Chris Eubank October the 8th, 2022. We're nearly 2 years on, or certainly 18 months on. And the UK anti-doping and the Boxing Board of Control have won their appeal on the lifting of the suspension that was made by the UK National Doping Panel. So effectively, they have the right, the Boxing Board of Control, not to give Conor Benn a license to box in the UK. He's got a few options. He could go to the Court of Arbitration Sport now externally and try and get his case read again. But in many ways, Barry, it's taken 18 months because they haven't dealt with the strict liability of the two tests for clomiphene in his system. And they've dealt with jurisdiction, i.e. did the Boxing Board of Control and UKED have jurisdiction over those tests that weren't taken as part of their remit? Obviously, they were done by the WBC and by VADA. It's a complicated story. It's one of the most complicated I can ever remember in boxing. It's gone the wrong route, in my view. They've gone all the way around the block, and they may have to come back to the front door and go over it all again with the Boxing Board of Control and UKED and do strict liability. They believe they have the evidence that the testing was off. The WBC came up with other evidence that there is previous for eggs in the eating too many eggs, and eggs in your system can give you clomiphene. It's a right old mess we've gotten ourselves into, isn't it?
What happens? We get so much information so quickly about it all that it muddles it all. So you don't know what's true, what's not true, what you're meant to be looking at. I still don't know there's something in his system. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I believe, there was something in his system. But if they're saying that there wasn't, and the testing wasn't done correctly,
and let's see the proof. Let's see the evidence.
But I still don't know what's being accused and what's not. I honestly, Scott, I've almost got it's so much. I've just gone, oh, I don't care.
Yeah. If he's but do you think a lot of people are doing that?
I think so. It's to a case of. I've always liked it. I get annoyed because there's so much great things going on in boxing. We always go back to the stories. Like, if he's allowed to box, let him box. If he's not, then he can't. I don't know. If he failed the drugs test, take the ban and then move on or retire, whatever. And if he didn't fight the case and get your license back, I don't know how it works. It's madness. But either way, it hasn't been handled great. But he still can fight somewhere else. But the problem he has with fighting somewhere else, I would say, is that now they've uplifted the appeal, and now he is genuinely banned from the British Boxing Board. A British Boxing Board licensed trainer can't train him. British Boxing Board licensed fighters can't train with him or spar him. I think I'm right with that.
And people will lose their license if they box him on an unlicensed. That's the big thing.
That makes it very difficult for everyone involved. And also, more importantly, he can box in America. He can box anywhere around the world. Dillian White's doing it now, of course, isn't he? No, and get a license somewhere else. But his commercially, his worth is in the UK.
And commercially, his worth, the big fight for him is still Chris Eubank Jr.
Yeah, but even without that, I think that is the big fight, of course, because of the names. And it was going to be a huge fight for everybody involved. And listen, we were all disappointed because we all lost work, by the way. I lost a payday on it. So did you. And
I think we're irrelevant in it, though, because
it affects everybody, though, Gareth.
It does. But the bigger picture is. We need veracity in our testing system. It's an inherently dangerous sport. You had something show up in your head years ago, remember, which might have been to
wit.
Do with
it was wit.
Apart from that, yeah, but no, but in a serious point, we need and have to safeguard the health of our fighters. Yeah. So the testing system has to stand up to scrutiny. And if people try and circumvent it, we cannot allow that. And so we're all better off suffering the loss of a payday based on it all. Listen, it's a massive event. If it does still happen abroad, Ben and Eubank in the Middle East or wherever, I'm going because it's a huge fight. And it's got controversy around it. So we need to be there. If there is a war going on, we need to be there to report on it. Otherwise, people don't know what the hell is happening. And it's the importance of those things. But the problem for Conor Ben is they've gone the wrong way about it. And when they've created a fissure between themselves, Boxing Board of Control and UK. It doesn't look to me like they've been working together this entire time.
I think you're right. They clearly haven't. But I would say one thing: it's never too late.
No, exactly, correct.
And I found this because in life in general, you always get old and think it's too late to do that. It's never too late, even though he's lost bits of his career. And if he goes there and says whatever it is, if they come to an agreement, a ban will have to be served, and they can go back in time. I would imagine and predate it but I still think another ban would have to be served in some respect. And that would be a real nuisance for the young man, but it's never too late. It might be too late if he keeps going out, traveling the world with another license, and then he might be too old. But every fight takes something out of you, of course. So you don't get to the point where you're washed up and you're allowed to box back home again. But we want to see the fight. It's exciting to watch. And I know. And if he didn't,
listen, he's a great kid. We all want to see him succeed.
I don't know him well enough to say he's a great kid, not a great kid. I don't. He seems like, but I don't really know him. But I mean, if he didn't cheat, if he genuinely didn't cheat, if he genuinely didn't know what he was taking, if it was genuinely one in his system, I guess that's the case that I agree in, then it's an horrific place for him to be. No one believes him. No, and they were just going, yeah, whatever, mate. And that's a horrible place to be.
Yeah.
But if it is in your system, and it might not be your fault, but you again, the liability is still in your system. You just got to go, I don't know what it is. I didn't do it. But it's there. I understand that it's there. I don't know how we got there.
Yeah.
I apologize. Like, and then you move on. You get a little ban, you move on. If you know what it was, you're not going to admit to it. Obviously, I understand that. Then you've got to take the ban. I don't know. It's a horrible situation for everyone involved, but it's distracting from the brilliant times that we're having in boxing right now. That's my biggest issue.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is, and it will resolve itself at some point. This weekend, of course, Sky Nicholson on DAZN fights Sarah Mahfood for the WBC featherweight title. That's about it for this week. We're wrapping now. My thanks to Barry Jones. As always, for all your wit and wisdom. Barry, we'll see you next time. You've been listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.